This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Oh, we're recording already. Okay.
Keep your eye on everything.
Let me hear you.
Hi, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing.
Marsha.
1, 2, 3, testing. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're all set.
Once again, we can count to 10, John.
I only made it to 3.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hey, welcome to Theater Geeks, a show about community theater and the performing arts. We are going to have we have a topic today that is a suggested by Marsha, and I will ask you to announce it because it's you want to announce it musically?
No, I don't want to announce it musically because hopefully there are going to be enough people listening who are old enough to remember the song "All or Nothing at All."
Okay, so what's
and
the point?
And that's the topic.
Okay,
the point is. If you want a certain part in a play or a musical and you don't get it, do you accept another part that's offered you or even being in the ensemble? Or do you just say the heck with you and walk out?
Mm-hmm. And how do you handle that as either an actor or how do directors handle that, too? That's kind of an interesting twist to that, too. But as an actor, I don't think – I don't know that I've ever gone in and said I only want a particular part.
Well, haven't you ever looked at the audition sheets and there are a lot of people that say, I only want to be considered for. Mm-hmm. And that should be like the end of it. If you're not going to cast mm-hmm. them as X, then just forget about it. But in a community theater, especially in ours, I think, you really need bodies on that stage.
Right.
So you are not afraid to ask somebody who may only want to be the lead if they'll be in the ensemble. And I guess if they are really anxious to be in the theater group and work with the theater and be on stage, they will accept that, whatever you offer them.
Yeah. And our audition sheets say, what roles are you interested in? And there's another question on the audition sheet say, would you accept any other part?
Right. And have you as a director never asked anybody that had written down, will I be considered for any other part? And they say no. And then you go ahead and ask them anyway,
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
I mean, unless I know the person very well and know that it's not worth going there.
Yeah. Well, there is that.
But I don't. The thing is that a lot of times – and actor, you know, as an actor, you don't always really know for sure. You don't know that well what you're suited for sometimes.
True.
And I don't mean that to be insulting or anything, but you get up and you say you want a particular part. And most of the time when people do that, they want a lead in particular.
That's
or a major comedic part or something.
Very few people say, I only want the chorus.
Yes.
Yeah, very few people say that. But if you get up and then the director says, you know, he would be good here, you better here than over there. I think that sometimes it's very worthwhile for the actor to take that direction and say, okay, I'll try it. And I've had it happen, you know, to me, and I know that other actors have had it where they don't get the part they wanted, but they're actually really glad they got the part they mm-hmm. got because they feel like, gee, I think I was better at this than I would have been at the other. So I've had that.
Yeah. I mean, I've always felt very strongly that especially in community theater, that you should audition for a show because you want to be in the show. And I know everybody calls me the name of the girl she's always had the sunny disposition and she fell
Pollyanna.
Out of the tree. Pollyanna. Oh,
yeah.
I'm a Pollyanna.
Yeah,
but I really do kind of feel like, when you audition for a show, you should want to be in the show because you like the show, you like the directing team, and you're excited to be in the show. So you should be excited to do anything they ask you to do, even if it's a chorus role. So now, that being said, though, if you feel like you only have enough time to do, you know, like that you really want to commit to a lead, but you don't have enough time in, you know, to either commit to the entire show as a chorus member or that you really only want to commit to a lead role, then you should at least say that up front,
right?
You know, and be honest about it. Then it, more and more for me, I'm taking that person at their face value as a director. If they tell me they will only take a lead or only take this role or this role, if I can't offer it to them, then I don't necessarily offer them a role.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times it leads to attitude.
Yeah, it can.
Oh, yeah.
It can. If somebody gets a role they don't want and then they just sort of, you know, start to phone it in. But, you know, that also goes, you may see that in the audition itself. You know, I want to play, you know, the actor says they want to play a specific part, but because just simply because you want to have people read different things, you have them reading an alternate part or a different mm-hmm. part, and you may detect that they're kind of phoning it in, that they're not putting anything into it.
Right.
And I think that's a mistake for any actor. Like if I'm auditioning for a particular role and somebody says, could you, I mean, even if it's just a fill in, would you please read this other part so that someone will have something to play off of? Do the best you can in that role,
oh,
too.
Yeah,
totally. And I mean, I agree with that because, all too often when you audition for a show and you've put all of your eggs in one actor
or one part basket.
I think people actually suffer their audition. And I know that sounds weird, but I have actually seen people who have tried, they try so hard for the role that they end up failing.
Oh,
you know, and if they would just relax and say, I'm going into this audition and I'm going to go in and I'm going to have fun and whatever comes out, then they don't put that stress on themselves of that's the role that I want. I have to have that role. Because a lot of times, especially actors who are younger or not as experienced, maybe they do put a lot of pressure on themselves. And then the next thing you know, kind of wasted their audition because they were too focused on that one character. And if they had played a little bit more at the audition, I might've said, well, you know what? They didn't give me exactly what they wanted, but look at all these things that I saw them do.
Yeah.
And so I think they can give it to me. Do you know what I'm saying? And
right.
so, but, yeah. but they didn't show me enough because they put all their eggs in one basket.
Right.
Well, but that's not exactly what I meant. I mean, if somebody is willing to do that and go through an audition process and take whatever they get and be glad about it. But we were talking about somebody who comes in and wants, even may not, especially if they don't put it down on their audition sheet that they are only interested in one character. If they say, oh, I'll take anything, you know, and then you offer them anything and they say, sorry, I only wanted this.
Right.
And I just, knowing how the trickle down thing works in community theater casting, in other words, if you don't get someone to take one of the top roles, the one that you've decided to cast, well, then you have to replace them possibly by someone that's already on your list to do a smaller part. So you can't get through with the casting until you have the top people lined up.
Right.
And if they leave you hanging, like saying, well, okay, I didn't really want this, but, let me think about it. Then how long are you going to think?
Right.
Before you say, sorry, you know, we have to get on with this. We're having a show in 2 weeks. Let's go to the barn and put on a show.
God, I hope not in the 2 weeks. The thing is, you're right, because what happened, the casting decisions at the top affect who you might cast in other roles.
True.
And, you know, you've got one, an actress in mind, for example, and then, you know, it's iffy, then it makes a difference in terms of what male lead you might cast against her. And so it's tricky. I think, do you think this is a problem with youth? you were saying that, kind of implying maybe that younger actors or people who are less experienced or something that tend to want to put more pressure on themselves.
Well, that's the actual audition, itself. I mean, I think younger performers sometimes have a higher opinion of themselves. Because they haven't been knocked down, maybe? I don't know. Do you think they only want the one role?
I don't know. But I think, at least when they come into an audition, that hopefully they'll be able to read or sing or dance for a whole different libel of characters. Maybe not the one they had specifically in mind, but, you know, you could see them definitely as something else. And therefore, I think it's the in the province of the actor to say, I really don't want to read for this because I'm only interested in doing this part. Don't waste everybody's time.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, you know, we do get people that have maybe other choices. In terms of actors who maybe have other actors or actresses who have more than one theater that they're working with or something, and then start, they don't want to, they may have a possibility of a major role someplace else, and they don't want to take a minor role in another play, or they're not happy with a specific role, so they move to a different theater where they maybe get a better role. And I don't know, I guess, you know, I can understand that to some degree, but it isn't very, you get a reputation for flitting around like
and
that.
And once you make a commitment, I mean, if nothing has been definite, that's a little different. Then I say you can go and audition for whatever you want to, and good luck to you. But if you've already committed, then stay in your own backyard, you know?
But I think it's still hard when somebody's sort of saying, well, you know, if you don't cast me in this, I'm just going to go do something else or something. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, that betrays an attitude to me.
Well, it does. It does. I don't know. I mean, I agree, though. If you audition for a show and you say you're going to take a role, and how you were saying, Marcia, that a director has to go through a whole series of processes and how this person's going to relate to this person. And,
exactly.
And if you accept that role and then suddenly decide to back out of that role because you're not happy with the role or you get a better role somewhere else, then what that does is it suddenly makes a major issue in the cast.
Definitely.
And how it's going to get rearranged. Right. So when you – I think when you agree to do something – Unless it changes for you in the course of the show, like because somebody gets sick and they have to drop out of a show, or somebody's work schedule changes and so they start moving people around, that's one thing. But at the very beginning of the process, if you accept a role and agree to do it, then you should continue with it until the show is over.
Exactly.
Happy, unhappy, it's about being responsible.
Exactly.
It's about being a responsible person, not about necessarily being having the right role, but that this is the role that I agreed to accept. And as a responsible human being, I need to follow through with it. I make a commitment. I follow through with it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a life lesson as a stage lesson.
Well,
and you make a commitment, you abide by that.
And directors remember.
They do.
You know, and they,
are you
they,
saying we're like elephants?
No, well, not necessarily totally, but almost like elephants.
I see.
But that's the reason, though, why I truly don't have a problem with saying, I only want this role or this role, and I won't take anything else.
Right.
Because then if they get the role, they're fine. And if they don't get the role, then they're not in the show.
And, but there's no hard feelings.
There's no hard feelings, and you've had a chance to make that casting based on those decisions, on that decision up front. And, you know, if you say under no circumstances will I take chorus, then mean it. And if you say, well, I might take chorus, well, then you at least leave it open to the director to be able to offer that to you.
Right.
And I always say, like I said, if you want to do a show and have fun no matter what capacity you're doing it. Personally, I've played leads. I've been in the chorus. I enjoy it all. I have a good time. And it's because I want to do community theater and I want to work with that directing team and I want to do that show. And so in whatever capacity I do it, I'm going to have a good time.
Well, I'll tell you, there's another aspect of it, too, is that if you are really interested in being involved in a show, I recommend that you say, okay, yes, I'd like this role and this role, but, you know, I'll do anything. Well, you know, maybe the directors can't cast. I mean, sometimes not being cast doesn't mean you're no good. It means you're not right
for the role.
Or you don't fit this group, or there's something there's not that blend that they're looking for. But as a director, we have seen people that come up on stage that were good enough, but there just weren't enough roles. But they were new, and we thought, you know what? We don't want to lose this person. Maybe this person would help us on crew or would help us do something else. So, you know, there are those opportunities, too. And I think that, you know, unless you're just – all you want to do is act, you know, maybe be – you can have as much fun backstage a lot of times as you can on stage in terms of doing a show. So
Well, I don't really have much to add to what you guys have said, surprisingly. I guess our total message here to anybody who is listening is that if you're going to go into an audition for a show, be prepared. Unless if you are specific about what you want to do, then write that down and that's it.
And stick to it.
Yeah, and stick to it. If you just go in and you say, oh, I really want to be a part of this, and therefore, whatever you offer me, I'll be glad to do.
Yeah.
And then, even if you're not offered what you wanted, then but you're offered a smaller part or just being in the ensemble, which is never actually just being in the ensemble.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
people don't realize.
We should do a whole show on that.
Yeah, really, how important that is, you know.
Right.
And then if you've got that, you haven't got a specific character down, and they offer you something other than what would you have been your perfect choice. If you say yes, then yes is yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yes is yes.
Yes is yes.
Well, that wraps up that? This mm-hmm. rather relatively short episode, by the way, of Theater
Geeks.
I bet
they're glad.
Remember,
they're not going to talk for an hour and a half.
There you go.
They?
Remember, you can listen to Theater Geeks at the website, theatergeeks.com, on iTunes, Stitcher On Demand Radio, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, at the Blueberry Network. That's BLUBRRY.com, Blueberry with no E's. .com. And or your favorite podcatcher application and a whole lot of other places. Where your favorite podcasts are available, and subscribe. Hey, if you subscribe, then you don't miss any episodes, right?
Wow.
And it's free, and they come right to your little gadget or whatever. The other thing I would like
you to... You know what? I'm interrupting. If you become or if you are a subscriber, when we do our special broadcasts November...
Right.
November 9th.
One of our episodes,
yes.
We had the date. We have changed the date.
We want to meet you
November
all.
9th.
It's November 9th. We want to meet you all.
That's right.
And we could give them a little thing. My name is, you know,
there you go.
Frida
there you go.
Frick, and I am
unless
a subscriber.
You're listening from Pakistan or China, which you probably won't be here, but maybe you will be. You never know. Yes, we're November 9th is our special live show here at the Bristol Opera House, the luxurious, fabulous,
still standing
Vegas-like, still standing
Vegas-like
Bristol Opera House, and actually it's Vegas-like only that it's almost ready to implode. So we're going to do our live show and our quiz show, our special game called I Know, and so we'll be hearing more and more about that as we go.
Food and
prizes and food and
excellent
and excellent stuff, and all the funding goes to our home theater. All the funds, the proceeds go to our theater. So,
sorry, David.
Be sure to stop by our online store as well as at theatergeeks.com/store, where you can find all kinds of geek gear such as hats, cups, mugs, teddy bears, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and all sorts of imprinted items, including John's favorite
underwear.
Oh my gosh, Marcia said it.
Marcia said underwear.
I was going to say the coffee mug.
Lean into the coffee mug.
To November 9th, possibly we'll have one of our geeks model it.
Oh, there we go.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me. We'll figure something out.
And was one of the shortest episodes is now one of the longest.
No,
so
there we go. Okay. So that's it from us. Thanks for joining us on this episode. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Chalp.
And I am Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.